Shabbat shalom. A grandmother is watching her grandchild play on the beach when a huge wave comes and washes them out to sea. She lifts her eyes to the heavens and pleads, "Please, God, save my only grandson. Please bring him back." A big wave washes the boy back onto the beach, good as new. The grandmother looks up to heaven and accusingly says, "He had a hat." It's a funny story, right? But there's an element of truth in it. It can be so difficult for any of us to feel completely satisfied. Much of the time, we want anything between a little to a lot more. In theory, we talk a lot about cultivating gratitude, yet in reality, we often complain and express our dissatisfaction. It even feels like a kind of contest in New York sometimes for who can express this the best and the most with the most evocative language. But Cicero, the ancient Roman philosopher, described gratitude as a corner of all values, writing that gratitude is not only the greatest of virtues, but the parent of all others. Judaism teaches us to cultivate gratitude in three ways: in relationship with God, in relationship with others, and in relationship with ourselves. So first, how do we cultivate gratitude in our relationship with God? In a word, prayer. Our central prayers embody gratitude. From first thing in the morning, we traditionally start off with the words, "Mode ani lefanecha." We thank God for our souls, and with these words, we thank God for allowing us to wake up and start each day anew. And from there, we utter a series of thanks to God for all the little things that happen each and every day, even the things that we're not conscious of that keep us alive and functioning in our bodies. Waking up, opening our eyes, taking a breath. Judaism insists that we do not take these things for granted. But why? In answering that, let's think about what happens when we shift our stance to cultivate a sense of gratitude. Ever so slightly, we tilt our perspective, we experience our reality differently, we open up the potential for a sense of greater well-being. Second, how do we cultivate gratitude for our relationship in our relationship with others? I know a couple who has been married for 50 years. When I asked them about the secret to their long and loving relationship, they each said the same thing. They felt loved and appreciated by one another. When I pushed them to describe what they meant, they told me a story that a long time ago, they had been given the advice to express thanks for the small things that each of them did for one another. They consciously chose to incorporate this advice into their everyday lives. And at first, they did it as a kind of funny little exercise. They would often laugh as they said to one another, "Thank you for making me coffee," or "Thank you for noticing that I had a bad day today." But as time went on, they found that what started as a kind of whimsical experiment led to a deep shift in their relationship. They each felt a sense of gratitude for one another, as well as a renewed sense of feeling appreciated by each other. These simple acts of appreciation practiced over and over for many years led to a profound deepening of their love. They both credit this practice of gratitude as having a great impact on the longevity of their loving marriage. The simple act of just saying a meaningful thank you can truly shape all relationships with family, friends, coworkers, neighbors, and even strangers. Finally, how do we cultivate gratitude in our relationship with ourselves? This can be the most challenging of all. We walk around so frequently dissatisfied with what we have, always craving the next best thing. Marketing companies know this well and help to build our desires for more, better, newer. Even your current electric tea kettle can seem not good enough when you find out that there is a kettle for sale that stops at precisely the temperature that is ideal for each and every hot drink individually. Quite suddenly, you might find yourself needing that one. We all have these desires, like little annoying prods poking at us and disturbing our sense of equanimity. It goes far beyond the small stuff. We also crave more from our life circumstances. Why can't our partners be more supportive? Why can't our children be less demanding? Why can't our friends be more considerate? When our sense of gratitude is clouded by our sense of discontent, we block out the potential for joy. We don't see the small gifts around us. We risk feelings of comfort and even wholeness. We let ourselves get caught up in wanting instead of appreciating what we have. Gratitude is at the core of Judaism. When Jacob's wife, Leah, gives birth to a fourth son, she is overwhelmed by a sense of thanksgiving. And she names him Yehuda, which means, I am grateful. From this name, Yehuda, we, the Jewish people, took our name, Yehudim, Jews. It may be the week of Thanksgiving in our secular calendar, but in Jewish tradition, it is always right. It's always the right time to give thanks. Shabbat Shalom.